Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
The challenge going into this year is preaching a radical commitment to Jesus Christ during the falling away. That's the challenge. Because the falling away is the result, directly, distinctly. Many false prophets shall go out into the world in time sign, distinctly, directly, tell us when shall these things be and when shall be the end of the world. He said, here's one of the things. Many false prophets, not a few, shall go out into the world. They'll deceive many. And because of that deception, because iniquity shall abound, lawlessness, and we're not just talking about in the general public, it affects them. But it affects the church distinctly and directly.
Yeah.
Because we no longer respect, honor, or seek to obey the law of God. And I'm not just talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about the teachings of Jesus.
Right.
The Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many, using that term, this is not an aberration, this is not a few, this is the majority. The love of many shall wax cold. Mm-hmm. It's that cooling down. Has to be the church because the world is not responsible to ever be heated up. They don't love the Lord with a passionate, ardent love.
Right.
It is those who once had that, but now it is cooling down.
Yeah.
And because of that, the great falling away has begun. It'll continue. And it will come to its apex during the tribulation, in fact. It's an amazing thing that this end time sign we are seeing today. To preach a radical commitment to follow Jesus like we used to back in the 80s, during the Jesus movement, when a whole lot of people were embracing the cross, taking it up, wanting to learn and be taught how to become a radical follower of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, it's kind of, you know, what did he do for me? What does he owe me? It's all about me. And when you come to the me generation of Christians, and there's a bunch of them out there, with a message of deny yourself instead of indulge yourself, and they have the choice, they're not going to go the way of the cross. They're not going to accept messages about suffering for his sake. I suffer the loss of all things, Paul said, but the things I once counted gain, count them loss that I may win Christ.
Amen.
So in that circumstance, we're in a paradigm shift of being, that's why churches are losing so many people. Amazing thing about it, they're losing some young people that you'd think would be the first to tear off after this other stuff. But it's because this other stuff does not challenge them. It presents a Christ that is not worthy of a radical commitment.
Yeah.
It's just not worth that. A religion that's not worth sacrificing for, its value has been so diminished. They don't see the value of giving up anything to follow Him.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of younger people that are, according to the statistics, that are beginning to say, you know, I'd rather not be in church at all if it's not going to be authentic. If it's not going to be real, what's the point?
Yeah.
I hear about the building fund. I hear about giving. And the Lord knows we need to give, and there's a blessing on giving.
Yeah.
But that is not the primary message, predominant message. And when we get away from the cross, we don't have disciples. Jesus didn't say, go and build churches and build dynasties and build your own personal kingdoms for your own legacy. He said, go and make disciples unto me out of all nations. So the immediate call after the call to salvation is the call to radically follow Jesus. And you say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. If anyone would be my disciple, let him get saved and go his own way. No, if anyone be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. God is so good today. I'm glad to be a radical preacher, even even though it has cost in terms, it didn't in the 80s. It brought people in. We even saw the, as they called themselves, I'm not being disrespectful, the long-haired hippie priests is what they called themselves. Amen. I got a call from one recently that I remember, the one that was baptized, remember, and he had on it. We had these kind of sheets made into something you could put over your clothes to be baptized in to kind of keep it. It wasn't bought from a store, but some ladies had put something together. And he decided that, I said, just be sure you bring another change of clothes, you know, you're going to be baptized. And it was dry clothes afterwards. Well, he brought him another change of clothes, but the clothes he had on, he took off everything and put that sheet on. He thought, this is how you do this. And so he came, going down into the tank was just fine. Being down in the water, that was just fine. But going up the ladder after the baptism, no underwear, and mooning the whole church. I mean, just wipe that out of your mind. We better just forget that. It's hard to forget. Hallelujah. Come on in. Praise God. We wasn't going to start without you.
Yeah, I heard.
All right. God is good. We've had some experiences. But back in the 80s, we saw this wonderful move of the Spirit and this wonderful response of people coming to Jesus and then wanting to become followers of Jesus Christ. And that's what a disciple is. Amen. So, we have the challenge. I have the challenge. Every church has the challenge. Do we change the message to accommodate the falling away? To try to get them back, to get them in somehow. If they don't come back, to follow Jesus. They're just coming back to be part of the financial system and structure so that can be met. And we entertain them. We try to get them in by hook or crook. Use all kinds of stimulants to get them in other than the cross. But the real message of the gospel is always about His cross and our cross.
Amen.
Two crosses predominate. His cross and our cross.
Yeah.
Any man be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross. Amen. My dad used to sing it. Should Jesus bear his cross alone and all the world go free? There is a cross for everyone. There is a cross for me.
Amen.
Amen. And we should gladly embrace the opportunity to take up our cross and follow him. Amen. Whatever sacrifice that is made, whatever suffering that involves, amen. Just living godly, you got to take up your cross. Because all those that live godly shall suffer persecution. And if you don't take up your cross, you will turn aside, turn away, back off of your commitment to follow Jesus. When the persecution gets hot and heavy, and it is, and it's exponentially going to get worse. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So the challenge of preaching a radical commitment to Christ, which is the only message I know because I value the Jesus that I declare.
Amen.
He's worth whatever it takes to know him, and he's worth whatever it takes in order to follow him. Amen. But doing it in a generation that is marked by the falling away, the love of many beginning to wax cold. That is the challenge. And so I'm praying that this dryness, this coldness that is gripping so many today will make them candidates for the real fire of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That they'll want something more than that indulges their flesh. It's going to leave a great big hole on the inside, just like the hole that's on the inside of the world. Amen. They'll come out of church and they'll head directly into the world, align themselves. yourself with the world and become part and parcel of that that's under the influence of the devil.
Yeah.
But there is a move of God.
Amen.
Let everyone, and this may be my message, and you get to play the altar call.
Amen.
Part of letting you know how I'm reacting to what is actually happening.
Yeah.
We don't have that kind of Christian today that says, tell me how to be more dedicated. Tell me how to be more sanctified. Tell me what the Bible says about what it means to really follow Jesus Christ. Yeah. To be an upstream Christian in a downstream world.
Yeah.
Then you say amen. So that crowd that wants that are people that God is beginning to deal with their heart. And so this exodus from church, so that is apparent today statistically. Oh, there's a few mega churches left. Some of them are running half what they used to run. There are buildings now that are being used. There's one in Lakeland. There's a business, several businesses in what used to be a beautiful stonework church. I mean, you go by it and you look at it, and here's a lawyer and here's a financial advisor, and it used to be a beautiful, beautiful church for the worship of God. But they, and of course, the Carpenter's Home Church seated 10,000 people, one of the first mega churches in the Central Florida area. I walked my dog to Best Buy. Down to the, I parked in Best Buy, let Matt go in. I walked my doggy, bless his heart, amen, to that church in back on the sidewalk from Best Buy parking lot, Carpenter's Home Church. I'll never forget the night that he and I were walking. He had begun the destruction of that 10,000 seat sanctuary. And there were bulldozers that had all of it torn down. It had already been vandalized, emptied out. And my heart just sunk and broke. I thought, I remember when that church was full of people. I remember when revivals were held in that church and people came from all over to that church. And to watch them pushing down those walls. And now there's, I think, an apartment building where a church used to be for the worship of God. There's a paradigm shift as we get into the falling away that is occurring. The love of many is waxing cold, but thank God the love of all is not waxing cold.
Amen.
And the scripture said, except there be left unto us a very small remnant, we had become as Sodom and Gomorrah. It would take us that far into that time of deprivation and sinfulness. Except there had been left unto us a very small remnant. A little leaven leavens the lump. Normally that's in the negative, but it's also in the positive. Amen. A little leaven, a little strong influence can have a big influence on the masses. Thank God for the righteous remnant. I consider you to be that today. I want you to pat somebody on the back. Amen. And now I want you to pat yourself on the back. Amen. You know why I consider you to be the righteous remnant part of it? Because you're here this morning. Because there's a lot of options out there.
Amen.
But you're here today. And I appreciate you. I love you. I thank God for you. And I still have a vision for revival before the coming of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's not going to come through the lukewarm. It's not going to come through the religious fallers away, unfollowers of Jesus. It's going to come through the hungry and thirsty. Hallelujah. And there's still people out there. And I want to see what happened in the 80s. I don't expect to see it in the gray hairs. I mean, not that. You already got it. I don't have to wait for it. I expect to see it out of young people that are sick and tired of being gaslighted.
Yeah.
You know what gaslight is? You know what it means? It means you know it's not true.
Yeah.
But you speak it as true so convincingly that it's make it believable to the people that hear you. But deep in your heart, you know it's not true.
Yeah.
Amen. And there's a gospel out there that's a pseudo-gospel. It's new, different. It is not the original. It doesn't line up with the original. You put them side by side, there's no comparison to the original. And yet it's the one that's bringing many people in, because they can have your cake and eat it too. Instead of take this whole world to give me Jesus, just give me this whole world and Jesus too. Can't serve two masters. What a message. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad I studied up, prayed up for the people that are here today. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many want to be a real follower of Jesus this morning?
Amen.
You don't want to be gaslighted. You don't want to be part of the falling away. How many, don't raise your hand on this, but just in your heart. How many have friends that name the name of Jesus? They name the name of Jesus. They claim Christ. What the Bible say about that? Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But they have not cut their ties with the world, the flesh, and listen, they don't even realize it. But if you don't cut your ties with the world that is under what? The direct, distinct influence of the devil. If you don't cut your ties with the world, the devil, you haven't cut your ties with him yet.
Amen.
You're of God, little children, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. That means in the influence and power, control of the evil one. They haven't cut ties with the flesh. That's why they won't take up their cross in order to follow. They're not going to suffer anything that they want, that their flesh desires. They want a church that tells them whatever you your wildest dreams of indulgence is, God is going to make you wealthy. He's going to make you powerful. He's going to make you influential. In other words, he's going to feed your pride and feed your flesh. You don't cut ties with it. You don't crucify it. You'll never follow Christ. You'll never say this. And you'll never hear it from their lips. When they pray, it's to pray a formula prayer to indulge themselves. You'll never hear them say, "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will be done."
Yeah.
Because that's a prayer that puts Jesus in the forefront and not ourselves.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Take this whole world and give me Jesus. I won't turn back.
Yeah.
I won't turn back. So the message from Christ today in the Scripture is simply, remember Lot's wife.
Yeah.
And he did something to cause us and help us to remember. She was delivered from the city of destruction.
Yeah.
She could have walked free from that. But she looked back. You know why she looked back? Because she longed to be back in Sodom. She longed for the material blessings of living there. Instead of out here as a pilgrim following God, she longed for it. You say, what a judgment. You better believe it. It's to set that apart and to let us know just looking back means your heart is already there. And you would go back if it wasn't for the fear of judgment. You would go back if you could go back. Amen? You would if you could. And he knows it. So that look back means the longing is for Sodom, not for God's kingdom, God's righteousness. Whatever sin you have to compromise and put up with for the material blessing, it's worth it to be back and have the stuff that I'm giving up. And the judgment that fell, she turned into a statue of salt, a pillar of hardened salt. And it's outstanding judgment. that fell on her. Not because she went back, but because she looked back. It gets real close when it deals with the heart. To look upon a woman, to lust after her. To lust, look to lust, not just be, you know, stimulated by something you see and you can't help it. But to look distinctly for that purpose, like David did when he watched a young woman bathing. She wasn't out in public. She was probably somewhere private, but he saw into that area. He had the option, but he stayed and gazed. Caused him to become a liar. Caused him to become a murderer. Heinous sin. And the man he murdered was to cover up his adultery with his wife. A man who would not even go in to have a relationship when he was home from where Israel was fighting their enemies. He said, why should I have pleasure when my brothers are dying? You talk about despicable. You talk about a heinous sin. A hateful sin. Man. Oh, we see David, you know, killing that giant. Wow, look at him. What a hero. What a crock of potato salad. I think it's potato salad, didn't I? Okay, just check it. Trying to stay sanctified. He wouldn't go in. David says, send that man home or leave so he can have a relationship with his wife and cover up my sin with her. He wouldn't go in. How do I cover my sin now? How do I cover it now? How do I conceal it now from coming out? We're still fighting out there. He's going back to the ranks, right? He's a patriot. He loves God. He loves his king. And he loves Israel. He tells his captains of war, take him back into the thick of the battle. And he follows diligently and obediently. And when you get out there right in the midst of the enemy, withdraw yourself from it and leave him alone. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Leave him alone out there. What's going to happen to him when his own comrades are told by the king and ordered to abandon him? They might as well have took a sword and run him through themselves. And David might as well have took a sword and run him through himself. Kill him to cover up my sin. This is David. This is the giant killer. This is the one they're singing the songs about. This is where the flesh will take you. And that's why in order to follow Jesus, taking up your cross doesn't mean whining about being persecuted and losing your flaky friends. Did I say flaky friends? If they haven't come to Christ, they're just like you were until you came to Christ. And I hate to break it to you this early on Sunday morning, but you're flaky. This man dies. And David is sitting comfortable that his sin is covered. The prophet comes to him and said, David, you're the king. I want you to judge this. There's a man, he didn't have much, but he had one little ewe lamb. And someone took that lamb from him. Murdered him, took his lamb. What should happen to that man? And David said that man should face justice. He should be killed. He's a murderer and a thief. And the prophet looked him in the eye and said, David, thou art the man. And he knew that not only did God know, but now God is showing him. So he could do what? So he would have the opportunity to repent. Amen. Thank God he took that opportunity. Amen. I said, thank God he gave me the opportunity. That's, oh my goodness, I'm blown. Grace in the New Testament, it's incomparable to the grace based on bulls and goats and lambs. That blood just held, it held the judgment back until the true spotless blood of Jesus could be shed. It was type and foreshadow. Had no value without it being a type and a foreshadow. And the blood of Jesus speaks a better thing.
Amen.
But can I tell you this? That covenant was so great. What we have is so much greater.
Amen.
How great was that covenant? Listen to David. Listen to David. Blessed is the man. Means happy to be envied. Whose transgression is covered. Whose sin is forgiven in Psalm 32. What a blessing that you can be in that kind of dastardly sin, despicable sin, heinous sin, worthy of death sentence sin, and find forgiveness because of the mercy of God. Did he deserve it? No. That's where grace appeared. In the Old Testament. Not like ours. Ours is far greater and far better. And the judgment for rejecting the offer of it is going to be far more severe than anything that fell on Sodom or Gomorrah.
Amen.
In fact, Jesus said, if the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, if they had heard what you heard and seen what you have seen, they would have repented and remain to this day. Tyre and Sidon, those cities, those evil, wicked cities, if they saw what you saw, heard what you heard, they would, in fact, he said, they will stand in the final judgment. They're going to stand there and they're going to condemn the people that were offered a far greater grace and rejected it.
Amen.
And they will condemn you. Because if they had heard what you have heard, and they had seen what you had seen, they would have repented.
Amen.
And they would be here today. That race wouldn't have been wiped out in judgment. You saw it. You heard it. You had the opportunity. And you said, I'd rather have the sin. I'd rather have my sin. I'd rather keep my proud attitude than to humble myself and repent.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
This is in your Bible. It's a book we carry around that we say is authentic. You know what the 30s crowd is looking for? Authenticity.
Yeah.
Is it true? Then tell us all about it. We may reject it, but give us the opportunity. I'm speaking for people who God is dealing with in the world today. Who have seen the gaslighting from the pulpit. They've seen the disingenuous Christians who in no way represent following Jesus Christ. But if you ask them, are you a Christian? Oh yes. Oh yeah. Like it's a light thing to say I'm Christ-like. Or a Christ follower. And we give the credibility like that. You've got a front row seat in heaven. You don't have to worry about commitment, devotion, any kind of personal sacrifice. In fact, you're going to get wealthy like the world. You're going to get everything your heart can desire in the material world and make heaven your home and claim Christ as your master and Lord. And that's the offer. And millions, not thousands, not 100,000, millions bought into it. And because it's a false prophet, because that's not, you lay that beside Peter, James, John, I'm not talking about Isaiah, Jeremiah. I'm talking about Peter, James, John, Matthew, Bartholomew. Lay it beside the apostles, and it won't line up. Lay it beside Jesus and His example, it will not line up. But it's not put beside that. So we're in the cold time, the falling away time. But there are people, evidently, statistically, they've left the church, but they haven't left God. They're not atheists. They just don't believe in the gaslighting from the pulpit. They're not challenged to follow Jesus with a radical commitment. Just get them in the building, get a head count, and get the offering up. Success. That's our generation. And my target is people that's serious about following Jesus. I don't preach a cheap cross. I think it was Kathy Young, one of our messages up online. And she said, Pastor Venable, I'll never forget the Sunday when you preached on cheap crosses. She said, I see so many, not only preaching that, but people that are following that kind of a message today. I remember the example down in Mexico, a missionary was looking at one of the old cathedral-type churches in Mexico, empty. But there's a man out front. He had a booth. He knew Christians would want to see that church. And he had a booth set up. And he had crosses. He made them handmade. And they had leather. A leather holding them for a necklace and a little wooden cross carved and looking really nice. And he was hawking his wares this way. Cheap crosses. Cheap crosses. Cheap crosses. Cheap crosses. And we don't preach a Christ that is worthy of taking up our cross. We're preaching a cheapened cross that cost Jesus everything and cost us nothing. That same missionary, when they got back in a big city, went in the jewelry store to look at the crosses for sale. And the man said, well, listen, and here we have solid gold crosses. And here we have sterling silver that has gold overlay that is cheaper. And here we have diamond encrusted crosses that are very, very expensive. What are you interested in? This very expensive cross, or this medium cross, or this cheap cross? See, a choice was given. And today in churches you can have a choice. You can have the cross that is so precious, so powerful, so costly to Jesus, that you're willing to take up your cross in order to follow Him. Amen. Or you can have a cheap cross that says, He's paid it all. I owe Him nothing. And they name His name. And if you ask Him today, and there may be in your families, some in my family, not much family left, that name the name of Christ. But they have not, and they will not yet, unless conviction comes strong on them, they have not departed from the meeting. But they, and someone told them, that's fine. That's not an issue anymore. That's not an issue. Sin is no longer an issue. Forget about it. Do whatever you want to do. It's covered. What's going to happen when they sit in church unconvicted and draw their last breath and stand before Him. Many, now we're using that term over and over and over and over and over in the Scripture. Many will say unto me, Jesus said, in that day, when they answer to me, not to some holy conclave, some priest, some preacher, some evangelist, when they answer to me, and they see me, and they stand before me, and they call me, Lord, Lord. In the Old Covenant, you know what that term is? It's Adonai. Have you ever heard a song with Adonai in it? It's the Old Testament Lord, Master. Jesus said, don't even say that word concerning me if you won't hear my words and heed them. Why callest thou me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?
Amen.
You're not being gaslighted by a preacher from a pulpit. You're trying to gaslight God. You know it's not true. But you're so convinced, the devil has you so convinced, that you can go to heaven on a cheap cross and a hyper-grace message with no change of master. Can't serve the one.
Amen.
It's not just a black-white thing. It's a love-hate thing.
Amen.
You say, I don't hate Jesus. If you love the world, the Bible said, whoever loves the world in the book of James makes himself the enemy of God.
Right.
Takes his stand as an enemy of God.
Right.
You adulterers, what? Spiritually, adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? It's a God-hating world. It's an Antichrist world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We're not talking about just the material stuff above God. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is of the world. And the world is passing away. It's in flux. It's under the judgment of God. Not with water this time, but with fire. It'll be purged with fire in order to be a new heaven and a new earth. Even the stars are going to fall out of heaven. Everything has been corrupted by the fall. Even as far as the universe. He said, I can't remake this thing unless the very universe and the stars and planets are affected. In the book of Revelation, we see it. The stars will fall from heaven like a fig tree. Are you with me this morning? I'm almost done and we haven't started, but we'll finish up good. Listen, are you getting a message today? Is it needed today? Do you understand my passion today?
Yeah.
Amen. Listen, the stars of heaven are going to fall from heaven in order to be a new heaven and a new earth. The earth is going to be dramatically changed. The universe and the stars as we know it is going to be dramatically changed. That means sin has such power and force. It has corrupted not only the earth and the people on it. It's corrupted the stars in the distant heavens.
Yeah.
And He has to make that new. For the new Jerusalem and the new influence of His kingdom. You understand why there's got to be, why should there be a new heaven? He said there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth.
Yeah.
In the book of Revelation, He said because the very stars, and these stars are huge. These are not little twinklies. Oh, the little twinklies are going to fall down. These are not little twinklies. That's how you see them.
Yeah.
The sun is a very small star. Our sun is a small star. Small. And if it was vacant and void inside, whoever did the math, said you could put about 25,000 Earths inside of it. It's a pretty big star. Those stars are going to fall from heaven like a fig tree. Not when the figs are ripe, but while they're green and they're hard to pull off. That a wind is going to come so strong and shake so violently that they're going to be thrust to the ground. That's how they're going to fall. There shall be a new heaven and there shall be a new earth. Sin is serious with God. It's not with us. It's no big deal, especially with the cheap grace and the cheap cross message. No big deal. No big deal. And yet Jesus came to do what? What was His primary mission in coming to this earth and this planet? To pay our sin debt. Because He loved us enough. And because what awaited us is so horrifying to even consider. And that's going to be worth more. That's got to be worth more than the tip of our hat on Sunday morning to keep our foot in the door in case we need something else from God. Got to be worth saying no to the world and yes to Jesus. No to the devil and yes to Jesus. No to the flesh and yes to Jesus.
Amen.
I will not preach a cheap cross and a devalued Jesus Christ. These calendars showing us brothers and sisters suffering and dying for the Jesus that people don't even hardly have time to honor, praise, worship, get in His Word, find out what's His will for. They're dying for Him. They're being killed for Him all over the world. We're busy. We're busy. We're busy people. You said it last week. What chokes the word? Not all sin in the sense of something identified in the Scripture. It can be good things. It can be things that we say, well, I had to do that. I must do this. I've got to take care of that. Here's the warning from Jesus. Beware lest your hearts be overcharged. Everybody say too busy.
Too busy.
Overcharged with surfeiting. What is that? It's just banqueting. It's just eating. There's nothing wrong with eating. I'm looking forward to eating. I've got orders from Pamela who couldn't make it today. I've got orders from her because she's weak. I'm trying to get protein into her, what to bring home to eat. And that's fine. There's no sin in that. But I'm going to tell you something. When that takes precedence, when feeding our flesh, not just nutrition, but just feeding our flesh, surfeiting, drunkenness. You say, Brother Venable, I'm a teetotaler. I haven't touched alcohol since I got saved. I am so glad to hear it. Neither have I.
Yeah.
Or neither do I.
Yeah.
But there's a drunkenness that is different. There's being drunken with the cares of this world.
Amen.
To where we're absolutely staggering around like drunk men and women. With no purpose, with no commitment, with no devotion. And our religion is evil spoken of because Christianity doesn't represent, amen, any real commitment.
Amen.
Our children, you better entertain them. Keep them entertaining. We should entertain them. They can't handle this. In fact, Christians that are not serious about Jesus can't handle this. And here they are. Right here they are. Oh, Dave, I go to church occasionally when they're in the mood. You can sit in the back. You can sit far in the back. Don't worry. Holy Ghost is not going to bother you with that attitude. And the worst thing he can do is not bother you.
Amen.
Not convict you. Here's the judgment that has fallen on our nation and on the phony churches and phony believers. It's already here. Would you like to hear what it is? I'm going to tell you anyway. It's important. Because they did not, Romans chapter 1, because they did not, you can begin with verse 18 and go down, because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And because they worship and serve creature more than creator. And because when they knew God, the reality of God, the existence of God, they would not worship Him as God. You say, "Brother, but these are atheists. These people are not responsible because they don't even believe there is a God. How could they be accountable?" God said, "You're wrong. The heavens has declared His handiwork." And He said, "The eye who see the heart am telling you something different." When they knew Him, they would not worship Him as God.
Amen.
You may have some friends. You ask them, "Do you believe in God?" They say, "Oh, I believe in God, so I'm fine." Believing in God has never gotten anybody to heaven. The devils believe. And they tremble at that reality. Because they face judgment and they know how severe it's going to be. Thou believest there's one God, thou doest good. The devils believe and tremble with fear. But know, O man, that faith without works, corresponding action, is dead. To believe in God and not believe on His Son who He sent. It's a dead faith. God doesn't honor it because it doesn't honor Him.
Amen.
Am I still in Scripture today?
Amen.
So now, we don't have to believe on Christ. We don't have to confess our sin and receive the only one who can forgive our sin. No man comes to the Father except by me. And no man comes to me except my Father draws me. I'll get saved and get serious when I'm old, too old to party. I'm in my rocking chair, but I'm not talking about you, sir. Don't get nervous. When I retire my motorcycle. Have you retired your motorcycle?
Oh, no.
Oh, you haven't? Okay. You still own it? How often do you ride it?
I'm not retired.
What's a month? I'm not. This is not a gotcha question, by the way. Don't worry about it. What the old country music singer said, "Don't hand me down my rocking chair." And there's a lot of people saying, "Before I die, I'm going to party." One country music song, a lot of Christians like to play it. "I go out to the bar all week long. I go out with women all week long. I drink all week long and get drunk. But on Sunday, I go to church." You want to hear the chorus? Me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus got it all worked out. I'm going to tell you something. If you ever get around the Jesus of Scripture, it ain't going to work out. It ain't going to work out. He's going to call you to repentance because He knows where you're headed. He knows where that life will take you. He knows what the devil would do without His help and His hope in your heart and
Amen.
Your mind.
Amen.
Oh, I'm a scaredy cat. Oh, Brother Venable, you're bold. No. I'm afraid to walk in this old world without Jesus. In fact, I can't walk without Him holding my hand.
Amen.
The song is a little bit corny, but it's true. I used to think that I was a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without Him holding
my hand.
Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said it well. Amen. For me to live is Christ.
Yeah.
For me to die is gain.
Amen.
John the Baptist said it also. I must decrease so He might increase.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad for the grace of God.
Yeah.
So let's get David out of this trouble. In the old covenant. Blessed is the man. Blessed, happy to be envied, is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. And then he sounds a warning. First he opens his heart and he says, when I held my peace, when I did not repent and deal with this, when I tried to cover it and hide it.
Yeah.
Listen to it. My bones were filled with roaring all day long. Does that sound familiar? Unconfessed sin. No one that hasn't confessed their sin and been cleansed from it in the world is happy. Not one.
Right.
Why? Why? Because they don't have God's help. They're without God and without hope. And nothing they'll acquire will give them peace of mind or heart. Nothing. Nothing. Booze, drink, multiple marriages. No one will satisfy that longing. No one can fill that gap and that hole.
Amen.
One of the signs of the last day, the wicked, and I'll bring it into the last day prophecy, the wicked are like the waters of a troubled sea, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith God to the wicked. Jesus said one of the signs would be that there would be earthquakes in divers places. The sea and the waves roaring. My immediate thought is the tidal wave that is created because of the earthquake. And that's true of nature. What is happening in nature? The earth is groaning. The plates are shifting. Oh my God, what we're seeing today should wake us up and bring a mighty Holy Ghost revival to the true church.
Amen.
Those, what is it? Teutonic? There's a name for these plates that create the earthquakes when they start moving. And the Bible said the earth is groaning. The weight, heaviness, hurtfulness of sin is causing the planet to groan.
Amen.
But not causing many preachers to groan over the condition of the world or the church. Bouncing out onto the stage to put on the show, and it's a good one. It will hold your attention. It will entertain you.
Yeah.
Guaranteed not to convict you. So you don't have to sit in the back. You can go right down in front of the stage and lift your hand. And try to gaslight God. He looks right into the heart.
Amen.
He won't have it.
Amen.
And if you mean what you're doing down front, when you walk out of the building, you'll do things different. But if nothing changes when you walk out of the building, there's nothing offered to God. true worshipers. That means it comes from the heart. It's real. It's genuine.
Amen.
When I say spirit and truth, it's talking about your spirit. Create in me clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit.
Amen.
For God seeketh such to worship Him. That's the real deal, people. The real deal worship is not even for us. We get blessed by it, but it's not just for us. It is exclusive for Him.
Amen.
Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. When I didn't repent, when I held my peace, tried to cover it up, conceal it, my bones waxed old with roaring, Psalm 32.
Yeah.
All day long. I have all the luxuries of being a king, all of the wealth, all the riches, everything I could desire, the best wine, everything. But I'm unhappy and I'm troubled. And my moisture is turned to drought. In my spirit, I've dried up on the inside. And then he encourages other people that haven't repented. Don't be like the ox. Don't be like the mule. That the only way you control them and keep them from turning and biting you is to put the bit and bridle on them. And when the bit is in their mouth, you pull that and put pressure and pain to get them to turn. God doesn't want us to turn because He puts pressure and pain to get us to. God wants us to turn because of the pressure and the pain that He put on His Son so we can be saved.
Right.
He wants us to care enough about what happened at Calvary to begin to walk out our faith and not put anyone or anything above Jesus in our life.
Amen.
You won't be perfect. I'm not perfect. But we ought to be perfectly committed to adoring Him, to lifting Him up, to listening to Him, to following Him. Our devotion should be deep enough that we will deny ourselves. Deep enough that we will take up our cross.
Yeah.
Deep enough that we will say, not my will, but thine be done. It's not only affected the church, it's infected the church. So we don't just have false prophets. The result of false prophets is false believers. False Christians. Hey, listen, I got saved when I was 12. Done deal. Not done. What does saved mean? I remember when she walked the aisle. Well, what in the world does that mean? They called for salvation. She walked the aisle. Seriously? When did the change come? I remember when they were baptized in water. Okay? When did the change come? Does being in church put you in Christ? No. How do you get in Christ? We're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if that doesn't occur, water baptism has absolutely no value to you. It doesn't take away or wash away sin. Only the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
So the blind follow the blind. And it's fun. For a while. And a lot of 30 years, between 30 and 25 and 35, 38, somewhere in that gap, statistically, there's a departing from the churches that are giving them, just overloading them. They hire people to get on the platform to stir up the people in the pew. They hire the people to jump up and down.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
One lady was jumping up and down. I thought that was the Holy Ghost in deconviction, people coming to the altar.
Yeah.
That's the real Holy Spirit. Something holy would be occurring. Somebody come to Jesus in this meeting if God is moving that power.
Amen.
And they're disenchanted, disillusioned worship leaders that were hired and they know the deal. When you get these singers up here, they got to move, man. Those people are not going to move unless you stimulate them. So we want that gal to come out like this. If the Holy Ghost is on somebody, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if all they're doing is trying to trigger emotions, then that's a show. And I want to go to a church where I'm not bored with the Word. I'm not bored with Bible study. I'm not challenged to follow Jesus any closer. I'm entertained. And so I'm not watching my watch the whole time. I can kind of just go with that. But when they walk out the doors into the marketplace of the world, true disciples are not walking out the door. Because they've either never met Christ in a real born-again experience, or they have, but they've never committed to follow Him. It takes devotion, determination, commitment, sacrifice. It costs you something to be a disciple of Jesus. Cost? Yeah. Cost Him everything to save you. It will cost you something to follow Him. Until you can sing, take this whole world and give me Jesus, I won't turn back. You're in danger of turning back. And how many people do you know that were once running this race with us, running full out for Christ, that are not just sidelined, they're just not running with us anymore, they are not even identified. They've left the faith. You know what the Bible calls them? Enemies, and his heart reading the enemies of the cross. You think that's Madeleine Murray. You think that's the atheist. You think that's the Islamists that hate Christianity and burning Bibles. It's not people who should be following Jesus. You say it's not worth it. Cross is not that mean. So the judgment that's coming, going to be harsher than anything that ever fell on Sodom or Gomorrah. If they perished under Moses' law, who sinned and did not repent, if they were killed for that,
without mercy, yeah.
Died without mercy. Mercy is offered now, not after we face Him, but now. They died without mercy. Two or three witnesses is all they needed in this writ, and they can take them out and stone them to death and show them no mercy while they cried out in pain. Of how much sore, worse punishment suppose ye that they shall be worthy who've done what they've done to the blood of the everlasting covenant? Resisted it, rejected it wholesale. Judgment does not begin in the brothel, does not begin in the cartels, does not begin in Vegas, it does not begin in New York or Chicago or LA. Where does judgment start? Where people know and have light and have truth and have knowledge and know better. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. I didn't know what to preach today. But God knew what He wanted to say. I don't know how much longer I will have a platform. If y'all didn't come to Faithful Pew, there would be no platform for this to go out under the anointing. I could teach from home, but there's a strong anointing here. You know why it's so strong? Because we got people here with hearts to hear and to heed. I don't know what brand of Christianity you've been exposed to. I don't know what kind of denominational outfit you were raised up in. But I know there's a book that tells us clearly what the true faith is. And I preach from that book. Not what men have decided, amen, when they come together at conventions. And when they get together to decide what are we going to adapt and what are we going to leave out. I believe every word that is written in the Holy Bible, I believe it's for us today. And I preach a worthy God. And I preach a worthy Jesus. And I have no cheap cross to offer anybody. But I'm telling you, if you will embrace, amen, the cross of Christ and get saved, and then you will take up your cross because you love Him so much, and you begin to follow Him, there will be a joy that this world cannot quench in you. A satisfaction and a peace that passes understanding. And you will be a shining witness for Jesus wherever you are.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You won't blend because you won't bend. Glory to God. I said you, oh, that's a good one. Write it down. Put it in needlework and we can set it in the Christian bookstore. Amen. You won't blend with the world.
Amen.
They won't get you. And you don't care. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They won't get you and you don't care.
Amen.
Paul said this cross has brought a crucifixion not only for Christ, but it's got a crucifixion to me. This world is not my home. It's not my friend. He said, if I boast, I'm not going to boast in what I saw. I'm not going to write a book about what I saw in heaven. The fact is, I told him not to. Want to know about heaven? Go to the book of Revelation. John the Revelator can tell you everything you need to know and everything God wants you to know.
Amen.
And he's got the right Jesus, too. It's objective, it's not subjective. Hallelujah. Amen. If I'm going to glory, if I'm going to boast in anything, I will boast in the cross, whereby I'm crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Take this whole world. He could have written it, couldn't he? And give me Jesus.
Amen.
I won't turn back. I will not turn back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He came to deliver us from this present evil world. Not just save us and forgive us, but deliver us from.
Yeah.
Not just save us to, but deliver us from this present evil world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I feel a burden to pray for people I know. You just pray for who you know. You say, Brother Lyle, you're not supposed to judge. Stop it. Stop it before that thought gets in you.
Yeah.
You got a man in the pulpit that can't judge what's wrong. You're in the wrong church.
Right.
If he can't call out sin according to the Bible, Oh, you're judging. No, God has prejudged that. It's already, we were under judgment. That's why Jesus came.
Amen.
Every person that's not saved is under, day in, day out, 24/7. They're under the wrath, the justifiable anger of God. If they draw their last breath, there's no other opportunity for heaven. Amen. Not. There's no back door, no purgatory, no priest can pray you through. We've got a high priest that right now is interceding for us.
Amen.
And he's the only one that can save you.
Amen.
There's no second chance. The tree falls, he can't stand back up. So shall it lie. You die in sin unconfessed. There's no second chance. That's the seriousness of salvation. My son, who's now in heaven, thank God he made it to heaven. Thank God he came to Jesus. He met three men who found out his daddy was a preacher. And they said, you should come to our church. You should come to our church. We have the best time. They went to a church in Lakeland, big church. Said, you should come bowling with us. He said, you know, we get together as brethren and we go, nothing wrong with bowling, golf, tennis. Fishing? Hunting? He said, we go and bowl together. We order pitchers of beer. And the moment they said that, he knew, here's a man bound with alcoholism. Having seizures. Because his liver is damaged beyond repair. No candidate for a replacement because they're not going to take a good liver and put it in a man who's going to kill that one.
Yeah.
They're going to put that one in somebody who wants to live. Not as so bound by the drink. Oh, Brother Venable, that don't matter to God. We're under grace. We're under grace. By grace you're saved. It don't matter what we do. It matters what you do when it hurts other people.
Oh, yeah.
So here's a man trying his best to get off of alcohol, invited to drink with him.
Yeah.
Did you know where he got his first taste of alcohol that led him to acute alcoholism in an early grade? You know where he had his first beer? Is when he began to play guitar with a Christian band. And they went out to Clearwater Beach and gave out tracts and really sang about Jesus. And when they got to the band practice, they opened the refrigerator, pulled out 2 6-packs of beer, and they passed it around. And my son thought, if they can do this and go out and preach Jesus and sing about Jesus, I can. It's not just the beer. You understand, it's the gateway.
Yeah.
It's opening the door.
Amen.
For the enemy. Everybody that tastes alcohol do not become alcoholics.
Amen.
But tens of thousands a year do.
Yeah.
And they don't just kill themselves out in automobiles. They kill innocent people and children and families. Going the wrong way on the interstate because they're too inebriated to know where they are.
Yeah.
Oh, a little wine for the stomach's sake. I know the scriptures. I know the arguments.
Yeah.
And I know the real world and what it's doing.
Yeah.
I actually believe I could go out to an Italian restaurant. I could order me a big thing of spaghetti, it ain't going to hurt me. I could order a glass of wine, drink it with my spaghetti, eat a lot of spaghetti, a lot of rolls, never get a buzz. You know what a buzz is? Okay, you were lost where you got saved. You know what a buzz is. Okay, nothing wrong. You get this bump over. You know what a buzz is? Unfortunately, you do. Yes, so do I, unfortunately. And I could claim my liberty to do it. Because I'm under grace. I'm not under legalism and law. Are you under any responsibility of devotion to Christ? Do you take any responsibility of what a young Christian sees you do and what they might get hooked into that you might be able to handle? If you saw me this morning taking sips from an alcoholic beverage, say, huh, that's all right. Grace of God covered.
No.
Big revival in Lakeland. They had called him in two times. The man heading the revival that came from Israel to Lakeland, Florida. I think some of your family, our family, church family, went up and got in the line to be hands laid up. There was a revival. Another one came behind that one. And they called the man in because he was drinking heavy. They said, you've got to, instead of telling him, stop it.
Yeah.
They said, just don't drink so much. It's becoming evident that you're not sober. You're laying hands on people, they're falling out. You see, once the door of compromise is open, it wasn't long before not only did he not stop drinking, he left his wife and married a lady that was part of his team. And now the man up front with all the anointing, all the appointing, all of the prophetic gifts and healing gifts is now telling young Christians everywhere, you can do this, you can do that, you're under the grace of God. And look what it cost him.
Yeah.
A marriage and a testimony that could have touched so many for Jesus. And the devil's cackling. He's laughing.
Yeah.
So here we are today in the midst of the falling away. And we've got friends and loved ones caught in the current. Caught in the current. And if we're not careful, I said if we're not careful, we can get caught up in that same current. Right now at Beaches, there are warning signs. Since there's a rift current. You can probably, if the waves are not too big to lift you off your feet, you can probably go waist deep. And it not grab you and take you out to sea. But if you get chest deep in it, a wave can come that will lift you to the solidness of the soil, and then the rip current will pull you back out, and then it will take you. And people die every year. A mother died, tried to save her child recently. A celebrity died in somewhere where there was a beach in some other country. And he swam out to save his son. And he got caught in it. And it took his life. You know what I would say? If you see a sign that says rip current, don't go swimming.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Just, well, how far can I go and still be safe? Mm-hmm. No far.
That's right.
Not to be safe. Because the current is so strong. And so many people have gotten caught in it and drifted away from God so far that they will die stand before Jesus Christ under the illusion that they are ready for heaven. And there are preachers that won't break that illusion by telling any truth or telling more. And they will call him Lord, Lord. So glad to see him.
Yeah.
And he said, and I will say unto them. What does he say unto them? Many will say that unto him, but what will he say unto them? Anybody know what he says unto them? Can you blurt that out so it's not me saying it? This is what Christ said. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You're not saved by works. But if you get saved, some works you've got to change. Not to keep you. Listen, you're not saved by works, but you're called unto good works. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, that's those people, let them do what?
Depart
from iniquity. The Greek word is a deep word. It's not just what we do that is wrong, the sins we commit. It's something in the heart that causes us to do it. And that's why he was bruised for our iniquity. They nailed him to the cross for our transgressions, the sin itself, the transgression of the law, wounded for our transgression. He's not done. Bruised for something else. Bruised for our iniquity, Isaiah 53. That meant the lawless heart, the rebellious heart, the heart of stone, that is stubborn and pride-filled against God, that will not bow, needs to be broken. Amen. They said, I didn't just come to forgive the sin and leave that kind of heart in you.
That's right.
I came to change that heart in you.
Yes, amen.
To take out, I think it was Australia's we closed. How many closed is this one? In Australia was the first heart transplant. I forgot who did it, but two doctors in Australia. But it wasn't the last one. In fact, it wasn't the first one. The first person born again in the new covenant.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Was the first person to have a heart transplant.
Amen.
As it is written, saith the Lord. He does something through Christ by the Holy Spirit that can never be done.
Yeah.
Amen. For David or Isaiah or anybody under the old covenant.
Right.
He said, I will take out the heart of stone.
Yeah.
And I will replace it with a heart of flesh.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Wounded for the sins we committed. Bruised. So that our heart can be changed.
Yeah.
And instead of have a heart that is adamant, hard, stubborn and prideful, it is humble, it is open to him. Praise God.
Amen.
And we bow to him.
Amen.
Not just believe, we bow.
Amen.
And in man being Christ, therefore, he's a new creation. Old things are past. Everything becomes new.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I guess I just killed the altar yet in the building. Can we have a year of intercession? A year of serious intercession. For our friends, loved ones, acquaintances, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, and sons and daughters that name the name of Christ and have not yet departed I don't mean sinless and perfect. I mean getting rid of that stubborn rebellious pushback heart.
Yes, amen.
On to Jesus. It says, come. Take my yoke on you. First step, take my yoke on you.
Yeah.
Get rid of that roaring in the bones. Take my yoke on you.
Yeah.
My last closing. Everybody say yoke.
Yoke. Yoke.
The yoke that many people portray and even preach. You got oxen. He's not talking about oxen or the yoke for oxen. You got one big old ox in one side pulling this big heavy cart. And you say, listen, you might be a big old ox, you're going to get tired. Take my yoke on you. I'm going to put my head in the other part of that yoke. We're going to pull this thing together. No, that's not what he's talking about. Because the yoke he's talking about, he identifies. Take my yoke upon you by learning to be, in other words, looking at my example. For I'm meek in order to take the yoke, and I'm lowly in spirit. I'm submitted and committed. You see it in the garden, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
His yoke. If there's any other way, let the cup pass, but nevertheless, I'm committed to your will. And the yoke they visualized is what they knew so well. You've got an enclosure for the sheep at night. You've got one sheep that just bound and determined to go out and fool around outside the perimeter of protection. You take what looks like, and this is a crude example, but it's important. Take two bows for bow and arrow. Tie them so there's one bow. Two bows together. You pull it apart and put it around the neck of that sheep that gets out. And the sheep goes to get out, and that yoke stops it from getting outside the perimeter.
Yeah.
Now do you see the yoke differently? And the necessary to be meek and lowly in heart to take his yoke. And what was his yoke in the volume of the book it is written?
Amen.
I came to do thy will.
Amen.
Oh God.
Amen.
Thy kingdom come. See the yoke. Thy will be done. Not my will. Using my faith to get what I want, to do what I go my way. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit. He humbled himself. He humbled himself.
Yes.
And was obedient to the death of the cross. That's the yoke. His yoke. He said, you take it.
Yeah.
And you'll find rest for your soul. Because that tension between God's way and God's will and your way, that's going to go away. And you'll find rest for your soul. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And until you do, that tension's going to remain. There's serenity in full surrender. I like this cross. It's not the jewel, but it represents the most precious. It's my understanding. Have you ever heard this song? More precious than diamonds. More costly than gold.
Yeah.
The blood of my Savior. Which you shed to save my soul.
Yeah.
More precious than diamonds.
Yeah.
More costly than gold. The blood of my Savior. The blood of my Savior.
Yeah.
As I was on the internet, I think it's in the morning message, God came on a Christian evidently a cross-bearing Christian, not just a cross-bearing Christian, not just a cross-bearing Christian,
yeah.
Because she was at McDonald's cooking French fries. You can believe the net, and the preacher on the net. And they've got inspiration about the costliness of the cross of Christ. She wasn't on a mountaintop trying to get a revelation. She had a Bible that tells her the value of that cross. Hallelujah. And while she's cooking French fries at McDonald's, Holy Spirit is showing her the value of the cross. She writes the words, more precious than diamond, more costly than gold, the cross of my Savior that saves my soul.
Hallelujah.
If you can get that revelation and realization cooking French fries at McDonald's, you ought to get it in church on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of it?
Amen.
Are you ready to run the race with me?
Amen.
What song did we pick?
I got one if you want, unless you want the one you told me about.
No, don't get the one I told you about. This is not the message, but it might be next week. Don't miss next week. We might hear that song and that message. Don't be scared. Come back.
Amen.
Amen.
Get you one of bumper stickers that ain't scared.
Amen.
I go to Venables Church. We ought to get t-shirts. Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.
Father, I praise you.
Yes.
I praise you.
Amen.
And loved ones. Our family is so small, but there are cousins, there are people in Kentucky, there are people in Tennessee, there are Christians that are part of our Christian family, people we've known for years and years and years. So my family includes the family of God. And there's a scripture that I think of when I intercede. You did run good for a while. For a while, it looked like you were going to keep on running the race until you finish. But something or someone got in the way, and your devotion wasn't deep enough to keep you from getting out of the way. The rip current that is strong enough to make you feel threatened will cause you to fight against it and try to swim out of it. So it's not that current that is destroying so many. You know the one that's destroying so many? It's the one that you barely notice, that a little bit at the time, a little bit at the time, little by little, it's pulling you further and further from the shore. And there's nothing to alert you of the danger that you're in. I'm here to alert to the danger. And I'm praying in the name of Jesus Christ that people that are drifting, that are not even far enough yet to acknowledge their backslidden condition. Amen. They've got just enough of false assurance to think they're just fine. I'm praying for them, hallelujah, to wake up and realize, I've got to get back. I've got to get back to the shore. I've got to get back to the Father. Back close to Jesus. Back, not just to church, but back to Christ. Can you say amen? Father, I pray my heart is bursting today, because my heart is broken today, because I see it. I know what's occurring, and I know where it will lead. I saw it in my own family. I saw it break my son. I saw it ruin his life. I saw it destroy his talent for you. I saw it destroy his mind. I saw it destroy his body. And I saw it destroy his very life. Oh, but I'm so glad for the mercy that brought David back to you. I'm so glad for the mercy that brought my son back to you. But both David and my son had to come back to be forgiven. Bring them back, Lord. If you can agree with me for people you know, visualize them right now. Bring them back. Bring them back. Draw them back. Lord, alert them to the danger and bring them back close to you. Let them come running back to you. Don't let them come back to you the way they drifted from you inch by inch, a little at a time. Let them run back to you in the name of Jesus. Break the yoke over them. Wake them up to the soon coming of Jesus and the sure judgment that will follow. And bring them home. Bring them home. Bring them home. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, shake the church today that we might shake the world before you come. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. There's a message here. Do you have it? Does anyone have it? Blow the trumpet in Zion. Is it not written? Oh, blow the trumpet in Zion. This is a clarion call. Sound the alarm in my holy city. And show my people their sin. And the house of Jacob, their transgressions. That there might be repentance and restoration and revival. That I may keep you and because you keep the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation that is coming to try all the inhabitants of the earth. None shall escape but those who I'm keeping. None shall escape except those who are kept by the power of God, but all those that the Father hath given me, those have I kept and will I keep, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, friend, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm here today. I'm glad the Holy Spirit took over this service. I'm glad it didn't run smooth and just like it was on a greased train track. I'm glad it was different. Glory, a different anointing. I feel a prophetic anointing. Not because I'm a prophet either. I feel the calling of an evangelist. I'm told to do the work of an evangelist. And that's not just to the lost, my brother and my sister. Hallelujah. That's to the church that needs revival. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philip was an evangelist. He went down in Samaria and preached Christ to them. They turned the cities upside down. But they turned churches upside down too, where they were welcomed. God is so good today. Well, I was glad to hear from the Lord. I'm going to go home happy. Amen. I'm going to make Pamela sit down. I'm going to preach this whole message. I say, honey, you're not going to get out of it just because you
couldn't wobble into church today. Hallelujah. God is good. No, I'm not going to preach it again. I couldn't preach that same message if I was paid to. But God was here today. Did you hear something that challenged your soul? Challenge your heart today. Are you going home happy today because you got God's help? Glory to God. Kept by the power of God. I love it. Go eat the fat, drink the shake. Drink the shake. I was thinking of steak and shake. The sweet. Go and eat the fat and drink the sweet. For the... Yeah, I got it. You got it. We got it. I helped give it to you. Anyway, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Oh, don't forget the offering. A lot of folks are not able or don't, and we need the people who do. Thank you so much for helping us.